All right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Welcome to episode 63 of the Cool Shit Podcast. I've actually not done the start in ages.
You go, girl.
I love the support. It's a sad day today, but he has got a spring in his step because of it. It's Jaren's last day.
I know. Plenty of tears to come.
At Zach Agency, how are you feeling?
It's a mixture. A mixture. There's a lot of sadness, a lot of happiness, a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
We should explain that he's going travelling and not like to another agency.
Yeah, he is before John listens to this,
he goes absolutely mad.
Life's just gonna be better.
But what a better way to send you off than having you as our guest on the podcast.
Had to make a return.
And I have a feeling you'll be back at Zach in the near future. I don't know. But then we have our usual suspects, and suspicious they are. And we
unproven.
We got Gareth. Hi, Gareth. Carter.
Hi, Gina. Shergill. You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Yeah, you can move off me now. That's it.
You've done it.
You're like that. We're done. For the rest of the podcast, don't speak to me.
I won't.
Okay, good.
And we've got the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit Newsletter / podcast, James.
Professor Allen.
His moustache makes him look like a professor.
Sounds like you're like a character out of X-Men.
thank you.
That's what he's going
really
for.
He's really short, but he's really powerful with his mind.
He's just got really strong hands. Found out to his own detriment.
Oh my God.
Small body, strong hands.
Strong. James, how are we doing?
I'm all right. I'm quite hot.
It is hot in here. Oh, guys, we're actually back in our old office space, which feels weird. It's nostalgic. Jaren's leaving. There's loads of emotions. Mm. And speaking of emotions, things that pull at our heartstrings, Christmas ads.
Yeah. Very good. Nice. Very good.
I was really proud of that.
Very good.
So can we just clarify before this podcast starts for the listeners? Is this a Christmas special?
Basically, the last week, it's been impossible to look for Cool Shit without stumbling upon a million Christmas ads. So I thought it'd make sense to talk about a few of them. So it's not a Christmas special. It's something way more exciting. It's a Christmas advert special.
But we're going to obviously try and pick it apart a little bit more than just, you know, talking about adverts. So who's taking it away?
Well, I think, James, what are you bringing to the table? What do you want to talk about then in Through the Christmas Lens?
Okay, well... So maybe it's because I haven't worked in the industry for that long, but I don't remember the Christmas advert being as much of a kind of cultural figure as such a big deal in the past. Gareth, you were in the past.
I would like to say that James was reading his notes for that and has been working on that all week. No, James, right. You're absolutely correct.
Wait, let me carry on.
Pause
for laughter. There you go, Gareth. But my main question is Christmas adverts, sort of, do we give a shit? Does anyone give a shit? Should we, the young people?
I think the point that you make is a really good one. Like the Christmas advert and in its modern guise didn't come along till, I think, the first John Lewis, and someone wants to sense check me here, I think it's 2011. So we're only...
That recent.
Yeah, so it's only like between 2009 and 2011, the first...
I've typed really like frantically and I can't find it.
Okay, great. So we need a better fact checker.
2007.
Okay, there you go. 2007. So coming up to maybe like 20 years then, like say it was 16, 17 years, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing before. Like, there were Christmas ads. Obviously, everyone is trying to get their message out there for Christmas, toy ads. But the big grocery multiples doing these sort of, like, tentpole moments, it wasn't in existence till John Lewis came along and did that first advert. I remember the ad. It was about a boy. He can't wait till Christmas. He's getting really annoyed. He can't control himself. And the flip being, you think...
James.
Yeah, and it was James. It was a young Professor Allen.
That's his villain origin story.
And I think the flip was, you think that it's because he wants to get presents, and it wasn't. It's because he wanted to give his parents the presents that he'd thought about them. Hence the the mixture between that and John Lewis being like a great example of how a brand and a message can work. Now,
what a nerd.
But yeah, there you go. What a square.
What a little. I hope he gets bullied.
That was quite a simple advert. But now, like, skip to where we've gone. We've gone through iterations of, like, people being on the moon.
That was sad.
Dogs on trampolines.
Dogs on trampolines. Animations. And to where we are now with, like, CGI Venus
monsters,
fly traps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really kind of, like, gone through the ringer. And I don't think... It's where it started in terms of having that beautiful sort of thing that's touching people. I think people want to get like emotional by the John Lewis ad.
Yeah.
I think basic people are ready for that basic moment going, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait. I love it. They're going to say that word.
That's so true though.
That was my question though, because I couldn't tell if times had just changed or if it's because we're in this world now. Because sometimes it does feel a little kind of industry bubbly, an opportunity to kind of wank yourselves and wank each other off. But do you think?
Oh my God!
Do you think
strong hands? Strong hands.
Whether they like it or not.
Oh God!
So do you think real people actually kind of? Do you think it makes a difference? Do they actually look out for them? Or do you think? Because the John Lewis one, I kind of agree with you. Like if you look at Lad Bible and stuff, it'll be the new John Lewis adverts come out. But the rest of the brands who are trying to kind of, I don't know, elbow in on their turf. I'm not sure it gets through into the zeitgeist quite as much.
I think if we start to look through the lens of like Gen Z, that's where it becomes interesting, because you've seen I think if we look through the lens of next gen, that's where it comes more interesting, right? Because you've seen brands sort of take on that sort of Christmas mantle and start to do it in a new and different way, so that the acceptance that sort of like that Christmas thing is a thing, it does deserve something tentpole, but it doesn't have to always be pulling at the heartstrings. You can approach it in a different way or just a more interesting way. I think to your direct point, James, there's a certain type of a consumer whose house you will go to where most things are bought from John Lewis.
Is it live, laugh, love type?
This is a bit above live, laugh, love.
Yeah,
though.
Okay. They don't live in London. They've got a nice house which they bought for like 350 grand.
In like 2001.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that those sorts of people that are aging out with the brand do appreciate it, but I know I don't think it does a lot to bring in new consumers. I don't think there's a lot of new thinking that's going on with the John Lewis adverts at the moment.
I don't think they're trying to though. I think they put themselves in this kind of box and they're like, cool, we're going to be this, like, continue to try and be this pioneer in like emotional Christmas adverts. People are really looking forward to them. I don't think they care that it's just a kind of a specific audience. Jaron,
they've swapped agency though, haven't they? They went from Adam and Eve to Saatchi and Saatchi.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't a shit on Saatchi and Saatchi
moment.
Please
don't. We might want new biz from them.
Yeah, no, of course. But like, I feel like...
Both of you.
You're almost destined to fail at this point, because like, you have to pull it out the bag. Have to. Otherwise, it's a flop, isn't it? Like, there's such high expectations and all this anticipation throughout the year. And I mean, we've all seen it, haven't we? It's flat.
It's not that great.
I didn't mind it.
Did you know?
Why did you mind it?
Which is weird, because I've been a foe of the John Lewis Christmas advert for quite some time. I've never
because you're Scrooge.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised.
Scrooge McDuck.
This is something you don't know about me. I'm surprisingly Christmassy.
Are you? Would never have thought that, James.
I know, people don't.
Full of festive cheer.
Yeah, no, I'm quite Christmassy. I didn't mind it. I thought it was kind of... Considering where they've switched agencies, previously I think they've generally been very kind of earnest, whereas this attempted to be a bit more kind of absurd, I guess, and have a little bit more fun with it.
Which is fine, but you want to feel more, like they play on the emotion, you know, the boy's sad, the plant's sad, and it's just...
But this is the thing, this is what I'll agree with you on, is I think it didn't quite know what it was. Like, you know, like in boxing, you've got to be like all the way in or all the way out. Like, was it kind of funny or was it sad? It was a little bit in between.
Lackluster.
I'll be honest, my first impression, I really enjoyed it, mainly just because I like the soundtrack. But then on my second time of viewing it, I was very disappointed to realise that it wasn't actually the Venus flytrap that was meant to be singing. That was just in the background.
Oh, right, I see. You thought that the Venus flytrap was providing...
Yeah, I thought that was Bocelli, whatever his name is, yeah.
Do you know what I find interesting? So Marks and Spencer's, haven't they? They've run that ad, which has been under scrutiny by some I don't know, teachers out there and people that want to embrace Christmas with a sort of like, essentially like an anti-Christmas message of like, Christmas is a really, really difficult time. There's a load of pressure on, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if you've seen the Marks and Spencer's advert. It sort of like ends with like, you know, everyone going like, you know, throwing away like their Christmas turkeys and whatever.
Yeah.
And then sort of ending with this fluffy ending where like, I don't know, I think there's like a load of like confetti falls from the air. My point is, it looks really Christmassy. It looks like an anti-Christmas message in a Christmassy ad. I think that's interesting because I think the strategy is like super interesting. Christmas is sort of like changing within, you know, I'm keeping this UK specific, but it's changing. There's like, there's more agnostic people. There's more different religions that don't necessarily, you know, think about Christmas in the same way that the lens is changing. I found the McDonald's ad hit that sort of like target really well. I don't know if anyone's seen
the nativity where they all run to McDonald's.
It's just like everyone runs to McDonald's. And I like that because like, it's a non-traditional thing. Why would you go to McDonald's at Christmas? Mm. There is no reason to go to McDonald's at Christmas, but it
it's
like
people have KFC at Christmas.
Sorry. Yeah, the Japanese.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's so random. Yeah.
But it's like, it's intergenerational if you watch that ad. Mm. It's really, really funny. It really feels contemporary. It feels like modern Britain, and it feels like, I don't know, it feels like it understands what Christmas is about in a better way than the John Lewis ad, the Marks and Spencer's ad. I think we've got another couple of ads to talk about. Some are really good.
Yeah.
But I think the McDonald's ad was on the money for me.
But when you think of people that like Marks and Spencer, like John Lewis, they want tradition, don't they? They want to have that like traditional feel of like, you know,
but to push back
around
on
a
that,
turkey.
Sorry, to push back on that, the line at the end of the John Lewis one, which I thought was shit, to be fair,
what
was let your traditions grow. So they're kind of trying to be a little bit sort of anti-traditional as well.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the Venus flytrap as opposed to a Christmas tree.
I don't,
to be fair, Christmas adverts aren't something that I like think about and like look forward to. The only one I really look out for is the
Coke. I thought you were basic like that.
Oh, no. Shut the hell up, Gary.
I love the John Lewis.
No, I cried.
Holding a mug of cocoa with two hands.
No, Coca-Cola. That's the only one that I always used to look out for because it used to get me like excited.
Holidays are coming.
Yeah, don't they just have trucks driving along?
Yeah, and I love
along.
It. I love it. And they don't change it. And I think that is good.
And they invented Santa Claus.
When
they did.
Yeah.
Well, changed him at least.
Like they used to have that advert, obviously, with the trucks, And I saw one, right? One of these trucks, And I told my friends, they all thought I was lying.
I would think you're lying.
I think you're lying. You're a liar. I saw a load of them, like, driving through, like I don't know, like, somewhere in London, but there was, like, seven of them driving in a row.
With the lights on and
with
stuff.
The lights and everything.
It was just the ad shoot. There were cameras all around.
That's how Gareth got into advertising.
So is there any other specific ads you want to talk about then, James?
Yeah, because I think this one makes sense because it's sort of the antithesis. In some ways, it's the antithesis, at least in targeting-wise, compared to what we've been talking about. So the JD Christmas campaign, and because they normally do a fairly big one, don't they?
Like, JD for about the last sort of like I think 3 or 4 years, or maybe a bit longer, but they've had this sort of like a tentpole ad, where it will be everyone from footballers to influencers
to rappers,
a lot of musicians. All in the same ad. So I think before the adverts that I've been seeing year in, year out have sort of like played in quite a studio type environment.
Mm,
or it's like a shop.
Or very sort of like overly produced.
Yeah, it's not very kind of, it's not really narrative-led.
It's not narrative-led,
So I'm going to interrupt, but I think we're going to say the same thing. It's kind of, it was almost like, watch the old ones, it was like, here's this person, now here's this person.
With some like beat underneath it, and I'm jumping in some lights.
And like, it's like, you know when someone does a bad impression, they'll go like, oh, I'm Alan Partridge. And it's like, you don't have to say it. So it wasn't very subtle, and it felt like they had such a like, an embarrassment of riches at their disposal there. It became like, you know, the Cold War Steve prints, the end of year ones, where it's just like, let's just put every big kind of cultural figure from this year in. They drum roll it and it makes it feel a bit like that. Whereas this year, I thought they didn't do that really. It seemed like a bit of a step up.
Because
it was very narrative led and a lot of it was it was kind of very youth culture focused in terms of the casting that they chose, but also in terms of like, it wasn't all just about the celebrities. There was actually kind of narrative and, well, real people, real actors in
there.
That's
where it played really nicely. So if you haven't seen it, it's got Central C. It's got Kano in it.
Neo Archives, I think, was in there.
Yes.
But that's another one. It's like, I guess she's blown up now, but she's not like a household name kind of thing, and it was just kind of her dancing away. Like, you almost had to like look at, you go, oh, is that Nia Arcos? So it's like, again, it's a little bit, it's kind of hinting at the level of almost like sort of cultural nous of the audience. Well, to say, if you know, you know.
This is where I like, because it had a really good understanding of sort of like, again, like that sort of John Lewis advert, like with the line he said, like, embrace new traditions. This has got a really good understanding of like the new way that Britain is turning up. And it starts with people going, oh, look at them kids. And this sort of like thought that, like, you know, the type of kid, the stereotype of kid that you might see in a JD advert, that people might see on the street with a JD bag, using a JD bag as their, you know, as their bag.
Or as a PE kit. We used it as a PE kit at school. Exactly. And you would cling on to that bag until it was literally on its last legs. Like, it would be,
but that's
like,
why
ripping.
It's quality. This plays off nostalgia. It's super relatable. Like, it opens with that shot, I think, or at least the early one, where they throw the bags over the over wall. It's just like those moments. It's like, yeah, I'm back there.
Yeah, you know, it's not Christmassy at all.
And again, it doesn't play like
a little bit at the end.
It's Christmas because it's warmth. Right, I'll tell you what. Do you know where I get emotional in it, right?
Where?
It's where Kano's like, it's like, they've done a good job. Like, he's at a party, obviously, with his family, and he boxes up some chicken in some Tupperware and puts it in his JD bag. Yeah. And I'm just like, for some reason, like, because that's got some truth to it, that touches you way more than an overblown advert with a fucking Venus flytrap. Do you know what I mean?
It's real. That is real. You're there with him almost in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And also, they're not really nice.
They're not putting the bag on like a pedestal. Like, there's another shot of someone like using it as like to shelter from the rain kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like, it's not giving kind of too much like faux reverence to it. Like, it's making it like a symbol of like, I don't want to say like street culture, but like kind of real people culture, I guess. Yeah.
It was, do you know what? It did really, really well. And I think which JD have done badly before is it dealt with, like, you know, for want of a better word of what you're saying, like street culture in a way that was uncontrived. It was like the humanity behind some of the things you see on the street. Yeah. That's where it was like really
authentic.
Beautiful. Yeah. Exactly.
Buzzword alert, but authentic for sure.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah. And great track.
Yeah. Yeah. And a great track.
Fab. Okay.
Wow.
That guy.
Unanimity.
This is the best Christmas ever.
We've made James's Christmas dreams come true. Jaren, you got anything for us?
Yeah, I guess actually rolling off the back of that. So in a very different light to, you know, these sort of high production video ads we're talking about, whether it's TV or online or whatever it be, Greggs have taken a different approach. Has everyone seen this?
I've seen it.
And this is where it gets clever, because you know, we're talking about the demographic that watch TV or like respond to these John Lewis Christmas ads, right? This is like a social first stunt ultimately, and they've hopped on this trend of obviously, I mean, you know, around the same time as all the Christmas lights turning on, but they've hopped on this trend of these animated drones flying in the sky. And it's cool. It takes you on a journey. This Greggs branded rocket flies through space and their best products are there along with it. The pasties coming out the bag. And it's sick to watch. Obviously, in one respect, the technology's dope. In another one, like, it's just fucking cool, isn't it? Like, it's cool. And it's different. And then it gets passed around online. You know, you get all sorts of different reactions to it. And it's just new. And I think that's the interesting thing.
Where was it?
Newcastle is above. Sorry, Jared.
No, that's good. I didn't know.
I thought you didn't know. So
it's above, like, their main bakery, Gosforth Bakery, I think, in Newcastle. And that's I kind of agree with you, because I saw it and like it's like the first time we've seen these kind of like drone displays in the sky sort of thing. But
for
it's got a decent little narrative in it. But the bit that kind of won me over was, whether it's real or not, I think it's real, is there's a, on the article that I'm looking at, there's a bit of UGC of someone actually watching it for real, as just some Geordie bloke that goes, ah, that's proper sick, you know.
Don't know why he's from Jamaica, but
yeah, why was he from the Caribbean?
Yeah, so I haven't seen it, but I've just been catching up with it now. I think so, like, we all know about these sort of drone shows that you see in like places like Dubai and like China,
and
where
on
like
New Year's, like above the London Eye,
drones fly in unison and you know, make shapes and words and whatever in the sky. Yeah. I think I'm totally with you, James. Actually, I think this is a great idea, because there's loads of UGC around it of people that have just been shooting it and filming it, and I think that's really, really cool.
But
right?
that's the thing, because, and that's what won me over, because when I've seen some of these done before, even if I know that they're real, when they're like too kind of professionally filmed, they almost just seem fake, and it's like, it doesn't look that impressive because you can do such crazy things with like a polished video. Whereas when you actually see it in the sky, I almost feel it taps into some sort of primordial part of your brain that goes, pretty lights.
But it's Greg's.
Primordial,
it's like,
sorry.
It's the fact it's Greg's what makes it kind of funny as well.
100%. Like they're dope. They don't take themselves seriously. Yeah,
exactly.
They did that Primark.
Yeah, they got a good idea of
the line of clothing range. It's tongue in cheek, and this definitely like goes in line with that.
Yeah, I think when you talk about next gen, like Greg's just hit the mark, don't they? Like they're a brand that sort of it embraced next gen comms is what I would say. Like they get their place in the market, and they get you to like them more by being super down to earth, relatable, and understanding how people want you to turn up.
But it really shows how much like that long-term strategy actually does like work and actually does make a difference. Because before like TikTok, before social media, like I'm sure they had a kind of brand personality, but it was nowhere near as like culturally pervasive. Like the idea that all four of us in a room, when you say Greg's, have a really kind of, maybe it's because we work in the industry, but you could almost, if I had to do their tone of voice, you would be able to get it straight away without looking into it at all, which is quite impressive. Because obviously the stuff that we work on, a lot of that is like stuff that happens behind closed doors, like working on the tone of voice. So to have it come through so impactfully and so clearly, I imagine it's probably rather rewarding for the copywriter who did it 10 years ago.
Actually, I just had a meeting. I had a meeting just now and we were chatting with someone. There's not a lot of British institution brands left. And Greg's is one of them, right?
Well,
it's part
but
of
that's
that
what's
like,
weird.
British institutional brand.
But there's, and I'd say a lot of the other, it's one of the few kind of British institutional brands that seems to appeal to the older, the sort of more live, laugh, lovey John Lewis kind of advert, as well as young people. Because a lot of these more heritage brands are still culturally relevant now, but will they be in 20, 30 years' time?
Yeah, they're not regenerating.
Because they're not investing in this current young generation. Whereas you'd imagine the 17-year-old who eats a Greg's sausage roll now will probably still be a Greg sausage roll in 30 years' time.
Gina, question for you before we go. You're really, really hungover. You stumble into a Greg's. What are you buying?
I'm getting a sausage roll.
Is it?
Always.
Is that a sausage roll or a vegan sausage roll?
No, a nasty pork processed sausage roll. The worse, the better. What are you getting?
I think I'd get a sausage roll as well, but I am a fan of a steak bake.
Okay. Jaron, you want a story?
I'm a multi-bar. I can't buy one thing. Like, I get the pizza slice, the sausage roll, and definitely, like, a sandwich from the fridge
as well.
You're
not going to get that in Australia? Wow. Is there Greg's in Australia?
You better rethink your...
You know what? Hire me back, Joe, please.
All right, James. Is it going to be a Christmas special on the actual...
Do you not want to know what I get from Greg's?
Oh! What would Professor Allen get?
Professor Allen and his strong hands is so svelte at the moment. The only thing that I could imagine you going to Greg's in, the only thing I could imagine you doing.
Nice one, dickhead!
I can imagine you going to Greg's and asking what fruit they've got. Have you got any grapes?
No, I get.
Or almonds.
I get a double espresso and some grapes.
Is there going to be a Christmas special newsletter or is this just.
Not really.
No.
We didn't want to overdo it, and we might kind of, there's going to be some more Christmas ads released, so we might drip feed a few in. Yeah. Basically, we're top and tailing this week's cool shit.
That's what we're
doing. I want to see this week's cool shit as a journey, because I'm tempted to put the John Lewis one in there anyway, just because I feel like, even though we're saying it's potentially not cool shit, it is the biggest kind of Christmas ad, so I feel
you
like
you sell out.
Well, after all that, what was the point? It brought a tear to my eye.
It did bring a tear to my eye. But I almost wanted to be a journey from that as the first one to the JD one as the end one. And I kind of want to have faith in our audience to put it in front of them and to make up their own minds.
And where they're going to find it?
Yeah.
Is that what we're about to say?
Well, look, Gina, do you want to do the outro this week?
No, you can do it.
Who is hosting this week?
We never know.
It
doesn't matter.
It's
just
I like the link
back in your box.
No, it's very good.
He's a fan. Big G, little G. Don't know who's big, who's little. We don't know. Where are people going to find it if they want to?
Zachagency.com/cool-SHT. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some young minds to go mould.
That's just sprung out of the blue.
Oh, and bye, Jaron. Thank you.
Oh, bye-bye.
Oh, wait, did we not explain that this teach that the children?
Yeah. No.